Okay, this is really a good question, and I think we need to take the time to answer it. It says this: I've always thought I needed to focus. Whoops, I'm not good with this technology. I've always thought I needed to focus on what Christ has done on my behalf to find assurance of my salvation. If I start looking at how well I love others and how closely I walk like Jesus, I then find nothing but darkest doubts, because I know I fall short of His holiness and love every day and every moment. How can looking at my sinful life give me any assurance? Surely, by that test, we are all frauds and failures and lost. Very good question. The answer is, yes, that's true. But the fact is, we have to come back to chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 that we studied last week. He says, if we sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, that is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is Christ comes to set us free from our sins. Christ come to pay the penalty for our sins. And that's the whole message of the gospel. But lest we slide into apathy, lest we slide into self-assurance, lest we slide into what we think, our achievements or stuff, we will fail. And I think John's afraid that we're going to just kind of think that we're cruising along. And so that's why he's put these tests for us as Christians. Make sure it's the right thing. Continually, the Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. So self-examination, I think, is an important part of our Christian lives. In fact, someone has said a self-examined life, is very profitable. If you don't have a self-examined life, it's pretty lousy. Because if we don't ever stop and examine ourselves, we could be living in sin and just think everything's fine, my sins are forgiven in Jesus. And I think John deliberately wrote this gospel. He says, so we might have the fullness of joy and the fullness of fellowship. And the fullness of fellowship and the fullness of joy are directly related to our continually trusting in Christ as the covering for our sins, as the satisfaction for the righteousness that God wants. And therefore, when I see like the commandments of God, when I see passages like this, what it should do is run us back to Jesus. Maybe I failed in terms of closing the message with that, coming back to verses 1 and 2. But that's the whole point. We have to come back to Jesus every single day of our life, because I don't have the righteousness. I fall into those categories. I don't have what I need in myself, but I have to look to Jesus, who is the righteous one. And so don't ever despair. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is, as it says here, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. But I've said this many a times from the pulpit. The Bible says, don't despair, but don't presume. The faith walk is living in that balance. I'm trusting Christ, not trusting in myself. I know I sin, but I have a Savior. And because I have a Savior, I don't want to sin. I want to obey. I want to love. I want to follow. I hope that helps.
Yeah. Dave, you might answer the question for me now. Would it be a summary to say, if you want to be obedient to God and desire to be obedient to God and you fail, then you don't really have to worry about it. You just have to call on God for help.
I really like that, Ray, because I know I've preached messages in the past. I don't know if I've done it yet here. But what is a real sign of a change in a person's heart is that their wanter changes. When God saves you, your wanter changes. You no longer want to sin. You want to obey. You want to follow the Lord. Yes, I still sin, and sometimes I want to sin, and that's horrible. But the fact is, I grieve over that, and I run back to Jesus. Our wanter changes when we're regenerated.
Yep. Thank you. Anyone else quick on the fingers?
I've got one message
received. Oh, got one? Good.
So if we fail the first two tests, but still want to grow, where is the place to start? The verses 1 and 2, back to Jesus. That's where we start. We just say, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Sin shall not have dominion over you. I want to keep growing. I need to trust you more. I need to just, learn to rest in you and in your finished work on Calvary's cross. And that's really the Christian life, is growing more and more in love with Jesus, more and more dependent upon Jesus, more and more wanting to please Jesus in all that we do, because Jesus has done everything.